Mark 15, verse 40 through 16, verse 8. How should we listen to these words?
Very carefully.
Why should we listen to them so carefully?
Because they're God.
So, Mark 15, beginning in verse 40. There were also women looking on from afar. Among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joses, and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Now, when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went in to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So, when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen. And he laid in a tomb, he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joses, observed where he was laid. Now, when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices, that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. They were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So we have in these 15 verses or so before us an amazing account of God's mercy to those who most people would not have taken much notice of or admired. It's one of the biggest moments in all of human history, right? It's one of the biggest moments in all of salvation history. And the great story here, or the big story here, is not, the great service of the women. The big story here is that Jesus Christ has just finished paying for all of the sins of his people. And he's dismissed his spirit into the care of his Father. And his body now is being put in the grave for 3 days, that he might continue under the state of death for a time, and the period of his humiliation would be completed, and then that he would rise again on account of our justification. That's the big story. That's the main thing. But even though the Lord Jesus has done everything for us, and I doubt Mary Magdalene or Salome or Mary, the mother of Joseph and James, remembered back to these days and said, "Oh yes, those were the days when we followed you know, closely to make sure that we could anoint the body of Christ in the grave. And then we were given that really important duty. So they'd be amazed at what the Lord Jesus had done. And yet, our God, who is always accomplishing all of his holy will, he takes an interest in what the least of his servants do. And he gives them opportunity. These ladies had done their best. They had served the Lord while he was in Galilee, but they didn't have the clout to be able to come to Pilate and make a special request. You know, Joseph of Arimathea did. He was on the council. He was well known. He had influence. You know, they perhaps didn't even have the wealth to own or procure, obtain, a proper place to bury him. Although Joseph did. And yet what they had, they do, employ in the service of the Lord. Notice that they are looking on from afar, verse 40, and then, you know, and that this is something that, isn't new right now, verse 41. They had followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee. They were in the habit of watching for opportunities to serve. This is upside down to our flesh, isn't it? We're always watching for opportunities to be served. Or at least for opportunities to be seen serving. These women are just kind of in the background, always there. Very interesting. In order for them to see where he was laid and know, you know, that the spices were still needed and to know about the stone that was set up against the door of the tomb, you know, it was necessary for them to have been following the whole time. Kind of like what Emmett likes to do sometimes, although he imagines himself a spy. And, you know, sneaking around in the shadows, not being seen, just to enjoy being, you know, invisible. Now, this doesn't necessarily say that they were sneaking, but you get the idea. They were trying to keep track of what was going on with the Lord, that even after he was dead, they would serve him. You know, they're like the disciples. You can tell by the discussion, you can tell by their alarm and their fear that what Jesus had taught them about his coming resurrection hadn't sunk in. They weren't expecting it. They really thought that Christ had died, and that, you know, their opportunity to know him alive, you know, was that opportunity had passed. You know, they had the hope, probably, just as Mary and Martha expressed in John 11, when Lazarus had died. They had the hope that at the resurrection they would see him and be able to serve him. But they thought that now Jesus was dead, and they were finding the only way that they had left, the only, you know, the last service ever available to them, to him. Service to him, available to them. Now we see that despite all of their good intentions, that the Lord keeps having to go ahead of them, and address, their limitations. And that's a great comfort to us, because when we're proud and arrogant, we think, oh, I'm going to serve the Lord and all these wonderful things are going to happen, and then we get in the middle of serving him, we realize that we're not able to make any good thing happen. And then you can flip to the other side and you can start to despair of serving him. But notice how the Lord went ahead of them. He goes ahead of them first with Joseph of Arimathea, someone who can secure the body of Christ for them, and they would know where he's laid. He goes ahead of them with respect to the stone. You know, they're discussing how the stone is going to be removed, and they don't even know that it's already removed. He goes ahead of them with the angel inside the tomb to tell them what has happened. And then even as we have in the last verse, they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, if you have a critical text, the rest of the book of Mark isn't there anymore. But we still have, whether you have, majority text or whether you're looking from at other gospels, you learn that, they did split and they were afraid, but that in particular, the Lord interacts with Mary and she doesn't recognize him at first, until he says her name. And he goes ahead of them because he knows their faith is weak and that, that they're easily shaken. My faith is weak. I'm easily shaken. I know that the Lord is doing, these big things in his, in the church worldwide and the spread of the gospel and the coming of the kingdom. And I've just got these kind of, comparatively small duties, pastor a little church, be a husband to a wife, parents, a few children. And yet the Lord is interested in what I'm doing. And he's interested in what every single one of you are doing. Even though the big story is God was going to send his son into the world to die and rise again for sinners, and he did. And then God sent his spirit into the world to spread the gospel of his son and bring to faith everyone for whom Christ had died. And he did, and the spirit is. And that's the big story. But in the midst of that, every single one of us are in a position where if you pay attention, if you desire to serve, the Lord gives you opportunities that you can serve. You can attend to his body. There are, you've got an opportunity day after tomorrow to not forsake the assembling of the saints together, to encourage the rest of the body by gathering in worship and confessing the same things together, participating in the worship of the Lord. There are people in your congregation who need comfort and encouragement, maybe some who need rebuke, and hopefully y'all are building relationships with them. There are people who are invisible to much of the church. And if you during a fellowship time, just kind of sit back and observe, you can find someone that is joined to Christ, gave himself for, and you can serve them. But whatever you do, remember that the Lord Jesus goes ahead of you. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared beforehand, that we would walk in them. And yes, you are going to mess up, you're going to sin, you're going to be afraid. They received a direct command to go tell the disciples, and the very next verse says, they went out and they told no one, because they were afraid. And yet the Lord went ahead of them in his patience to address Mary again. And, she just fearfully asks him, where have they laid him? He says, Mary, and she can hear in his voice, and lays hold of him. And you could tell it wasn't a stern Mary. She isn't paralyzed. She just wants to lay hold of him. He's the same today as he was then. And he prepares so much for you to do. And maybe as far as the rest of the church or the rest of the world is concerned, you seem small or you seem invisible, just like these women would have to much of the church. But yet the Lord did give them, it's really a privileged position, to be the first people to tell others about the resurrection. That's a pretty amazing thing that he granted to them. And you never know what he will use you to do. But it doesn't have to be impressive to men, does it? If Christ is glorified in it, if Christ is served in it, then that's the glory of it, that it belongs to him. Not that it's a story that you can tell other people and be like, ooh, that's pretty amazing what Michael did or what Jonathan did. what's amazing is that it was done in Christ. And that's what the Lord delights in. Well, let us respond in prayer.